Jesus told us, the harvest truly is plentiful. He means that there's people to reach and there's work to be done. And the danger of the church today is that it's not seen as the most important work. Jesus looked at the big picture, the large number of people, and he saw their need. He was moved with compassion. Now, Jesus also saw the potential of the harvest. Jesus did not focus on the hopelessness of the situation, but instead he focused on hope. He didn't pity and do nothing, but he said, get the sickle and harvest them. Jesus did not see them as always being in a situation, but he saw them being transformed. He saw the lost being saved. And Jesus saw sinners coming to him and becoming saints. He saw the guilty being set free. He saw the unforgiven being forgiven. He saw those deserving hell getting grace. Instead of moaning and groaning about the bad state of affairs, Jesus stressed the expectancy and hopefulness that is anticipated in the harvest. If a harvest was hopeless, our fields would just lay, and we wouldn't send out the machines to bring in the cotton or to bring in the peanuts and all the other wonderful crops that grow here in South Georgia. If that were the case, hopelessness would abound. So I got to ask you this. Do you see people around us as potential saints? Or do you just look and say, what are you going to do? We see so many people getting worse and worse that we never see the potential in the world. We're human. But where there's a lost soul and whose grace still reigns supreme, there is hope for that potential saint. No matter how good or bad they are, there is potential. We can't let the past fruitlessness cause us to not see the hope in the harvest. What a harvest! Over half of America, over half of Coffee County, available to harvest. What an opportunity. Oh, Lord, what a potential. You know, it's funny. Many of you know I'm involved with baseball. I'm involved with our high school baseball team. And there are young ones in the middle school, ninth grade, and moving up, that might show potential. They couldn't see the ball, but yet the coaches have vision. It's amazing. I'll ask a coach sometimes, I'll say to him, what do you see in that young man? Hoping that I will hear something good, and he never disappoints me. He says, I see potential. I see that he can run faster than the wind. So I'll use him as a pinch runner. And by hanging around with the other guys, it's going to rub off. And some of them will get better. I look at young men. See, I was a first baseman. And I watch kids out at first base. And I watch their footwork. And I watch, are they going and very meticulous and sort of stiff? Or is it fluid? And they receive the ball and the footwork just happens, and you know what I'm talking about. You can see potential. You can see potential. God can see potential. Oh, and now I sound like that TV commercial with Pinocchio. You have potential, and you have, and then the nose gets bigger. Sorry, that's not where I was going. The problem is not with the harvest, but the problem is with the lack of workers. The real problem is that not many people are interested or involved in gathering in the harvest. Play on words is obvious. Plentiful or large, and few and small. Do you know why workers, reapers, laborers, whichever translation you're used to reading, are few? I'm sorry to say this, but because it involves work, hard work. And a lot of times it's volunteer hard work. We're so busy doing other things, you know, the stuff that we get paid for. And that's what we do to make a living. But people are called. Jesus does not say that witnesses are few, but he says workers are few, laborers are few. Reaping a harvest among sinners is hard work. Sometimes it's nasty work. It's going to cost some a whole lot of effort, and for some a whole lot of time. It's not easy work. You have to roll up your sleeves. You have to, pardon the expression, sweat a little. You have to get dirty. The problem is that few are willing to do that. Last week we spoke about Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." And that light attracts. So we do things that would attract them. And they will come to us. And that works. So I got to ask you this. I was thinking about this. Have you ever planted a garden, and then one morning all the beans in the garden have jumped off the vines and were piled up on your porch? You have? I want to go to your house. Have you ever planted a garden, and one morning you notice that all the corn had fallen off the stalk and had walked up and piled itself on your porch? The harvest does not come on its own. It has to be reaped. And there, my friends, lies the problem. It appears that many are preoccupied and have so many things going on to be concerned about anybody else. Unfortunately, there are churches all over America that sit and do nothing. Potential of the harvest lies unattended. And the big question is how to motivate people to get on board. I want you to notice what Jesus says. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field. The field belongs to the Lord. He's the landowner. And he's asking us to pray to him, to ask him for that to be taken care of. The one-word answer is so powerful. Pray. We need to pray because this is God's work. If there's going to be a great reaping of the harvest, it will be because of God. The harvest we want is impossible with us. New birth is a miracle of the Holy Spirit. It's based on God's power. Only God can heal the lame. Only God can raise the dead. Only God can heal sicknesses. Only God can cause dead ears to hear. Only God can cause dead tongues to speak. It's his power, and he calls upon us to have faith in him to use that power by preparing the soil. I want you to hear the words again that Jay read this morning from Isaiah 49. I will also make you a light to the Gentiles, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. This is what the Lord says, the Redeemer and Holy One of Israel, to him who was despised and abhorred by the nations, to the servants of rulers. Kings will see you and rise up. Princes will see and bow down. Because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you. Years before Jesus was born, Isaiah was speaking about Jesus, the Holy One of Israel. Right there, God is revealing his game plan through his prophet Isaiah. The Messiah will not just be for one group of people, but for the entire world. And you have been chosen to receive him. And then we go to the next reading. In Acts chapter 1, which Jay read again this morning. 40 days after he victoriously rose from the grave, following his crucifixion, he met with the apostles on the Mount of Olives, across the Kidron Valley from Jerusalem. And he told them in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Christianity is not supposed to be some well-kept secret that we whisper about and share secretly. We are to share it with others in thought, word, and deed. There I said it. Both Marilyn and I are familiar with and support New Wineskins Missionary Network. I served on the Board of Trustees for several terms and was blessed to serve as president of the board for 6 years. Back in 2015, we had Sharon Steinmiller, who was now the retired director of New Wineskins, come and speak to you from our lectern. And then we had a luncheon for her over in the parish hall that she began with 10 minutes of speaking nothing but Chinese. And you got a little uncomfortable because you had no idea what she was saying. And now you know what it's like for a missionary who gets to China unprepared and has no idea what people are saying. But she shared with us about New Wineskins. I believe in their work, and your vestry supports New Wineskins monthly as a part of our outreach. It's all about helping the local church. That's what New Wineskins does. To remember that they are to be taking the gospel to the ends of the earth. Remember what Jesus said, to the ends of the earth. New Wineskins Missionary Network have been doing this for over 45 years. Their calling has been to fill the void that has existed in bringing to the churches on a local level the need for missions. You could call them a mission mobilizing network, a mission mobilizing organization whose purpose is to mobilize the church for evangelism, for discipleship, and cross-cultural ministry to the ends of the earth. If you don't speak about it, people don't hear it, locally, domestically, and internationally. And then New Wineskins Missionary Network has the Global Missions Conference every 3 years in Ridgecrest, North Carolina. I have to tell you, it's a remarkable experience, gathering the whole church for teaching. We're talking about thousands of people from all over the world for teaching, worship, Bible study, just to hear what the Lord is doing throughout the world and what he's saying to equip the church. I got to tell you, it's amazing to gather with Anglicans from all over the world, seeing how God is challenging and equipping people, knowing that first they have to answer the call. Sitting next to at lunch, a member of the House of Lords, a British Parliament, who is called to fight for women's rights in the Sudan. Sitting next to at dinner, an Archbishop of Nigeria. It's very humbling, very humbling. Every 3 years, as I said, people from around the world gather together, made up of all kinds of Anglicans like you and me, including archbishops, bishops, priests, deacons, and people who have a heart for others, for missions, for building relationships with other Anglicans in the United States and around the world. Well, you could probably tell I could talk for hours about this, but I promise I won't. We have other things to do today, including sharing Jesus' love with one another. The amazing people that I have been blessed to meet and grown in relationship with from around the world, from the New Wineskins Missionary Network. This group is about taking the gospel to the nations. I'm so very grateful our vestry is supporting this wonderful group on your behalf. Now, maybe in 2022, we'll be able to get a group together to go to the conference and experience that in person. I got to tell you, twice, we took 2 buses of people from Buffalo down to Ridgecrest, and the people are still talking about it. It was amazing. So maybe we can take a van or two. That would be awesome. The vestry is actively looking at expanding our outreach horizons at home as well. Jesus called us to be witnesses. not only in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, but to the ends of the earth. And that includes the mission fields here in Coffee County and beyond. Here in Coffee County and beyond. As I have charged the vestry to pray about and bring to the meetings opportunities for us to reach out, I ask you to pray about it too. And let us know what God puts on your hearts. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.